hear thee, O Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
Please kneel so we can start this service in prayer. And please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us and bringing us together this day. For this is the day in which you have made, and you have brought us together to partake of communion, the Lord's Supper. And we pray, Father, that all hearts if not ready, will be made perfectly ready. And we lift up all the prayers in the minds and hearts of your children. I pray that you please rot on my tongue and allow the truth to go forward, and please allow your children to come together more so. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins and allowing the plan of salvation to go forward and granting us the ability to gain more wisdom and more knowledge and more understanding in regards to that great sacrifice which Jesus has made for us. And we praise your name and we thank you that we can comprehend it and that it does strike deep within our hearts to help us to grasp these truths. And we pray, Father, that you please help us to grow more fully into representatives of your Son, and that we may be able to win souls and win the hearts of others, that they may also be reconciled to you and to your Son, and that we all may be able to enjoy the blessed eternity which shall come. And so with the help of your Holy Spirit, we lift these things up to you. And thank you for helping us in all things. And in the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray, who died for every single one of our sins. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, brethren. So, I want to do a little bit what Pastor Nicholas started doing. Just share something small just before we go and we wash each other's feet. And so, of course, as we come together today, you know, all our sins, we should do our best to have them all confessed. And we should have willing hearts to unite together with all of our brethren. And as we see all the things that are going on in this world, we can see that the time is fast approaching where the world will unite together against the children of God and seek to strike them out of existence. Having such views as we have and in regards to the truth and knowing the time frame in which we live in, God's people should be fully united with hearts of love knit together. All bitterness, envying, strife, and malice, and all wickedness should be put away. Each should have a heart of pure love for his brother and his sister, and a heart of supreme love and perfect obedience to our Savior and to our Heavenly Father. And John chapter 17, verses 18 and 23, it says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word." Sorry about that. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the..."
It appears that a turbo crashed. I have no idea what just happened there. Oh, can anybody hear me online? Yeah, I can hear an echo. Give it a minute. Sean will be back in here in a minute. And he might not realize that turbo crashed. He might just think he fell offline. But somehow the little turbo server, that's the first time that server crashed. So, well, that's weird, Grind. It's like your computer's living in the past. let's see. Everybody's back in turbo except Sean. He might not know. Here, let me text him real quick here. Sean, where you be? Here you are. Reboot turbo. He might not be able to reboot. I couldn't reboot it. I had to go into task manager and crash it using the end of task feature that Windows offers. But you're going to still have to reboot Turbo because Turbo crashed on our end, period. It came out Turboca. Turboca's Turbo. I hate texting. Sorry, Auto Designs for this. Yeah, I hear you. It's the worst time ever for it to happen, and then it happens. Okay, let's give him a minute. He should be in here shortly. Let's see. Yeah, you should be able to hear me fine on... I don't know why all that's showing up. So Turbo was definitely a major crash. For some reason, it's showing my Bible software, and I'm open to Matthew 18:20. That's odd. That shouldn't be happening. Yeah, and... Sean's internet went totally bye-bye, he said. So he rebooted his router. And, you know, routers, well, especially, you know, the routers you get with internet services, that could take 3 to 5 minutes. You know, it's like the old-fashioned fax machine. It's got to shake hands with the ISP. Oh, WTPR never fell out. Let me just double check. Let me go on the other server here. Yeah? Yeah, I can see audio going straight through. That's odd. Everybody else? I don't know if anybody else crashed their turbo. I know mine did. I wouldn't let me shut it off. I hit a force it. Oh, okay. Well, Mindy's didn't. We're just, for those of you that are just tuning in, we're waiting on Sean. His internet crashed out, or his router. Well, it could have just been his. Oh, he's back. Okay. Let me drop the mic.
Hello, testing. Sorry about that. Can you guys hear me? I have no idea.
Yeah, I can hear you, so it must be going through.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, that was odd. That was very odd. All right. Okay, so let's try to pick up around where we dropped off. That was the devil. Yeah, it's Satan does not want us to press together in the way that we should be pressing together, the way that we need to, especially as we're going to finish this work. I'm going to read again 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so, we must come together perfectly, having the same mind, the same judgment, and speak the same truth to a perishing world, that we may be able to give them the third angel's message, which shall swell into a loud cry with the voice of the angel, which is repeating the second angel's message. It is necessary for us to come together in unity, and again, speaking the same thing. We can't have divided opinions in regards to the points of faith and the point of truth. We must speak the truth and the whole truth. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 263, paragraph 3. The world is against us. The popular churches are against us. The laws of the land will soon be against us. If there was ever a time when the people of God should press together, it is now. God has committed to us the special truths for this time to make known to the world. The last message of mercy is now going forth. We are dealing with men and women who are judgment bound. How careful should we be in every word and act to follow closely the pattern that our example may lead men to Christ? With what care should we seek so to present the truth that others, by beholding its beauty and simplicity, may be led to receive it? If our characters testify of its sanctifying power, we shall be a continual light to others, living epistles, known and read of all men. We cannot afford now to give place to Satan by cherishing, disunion, discord, and strife. And so, brethren, we are to present to this world a united front. Who are those that the Lord is going to use? Who are those that the Lord will have to remove? Those who obey Him and shall remain, and He can use, He will use them to spread the truth. The 144,000 will move in perfect order. Those who are of this number will be faithful to their duties. Those who are prepared to work together and will do all that they can to lead souls into the truth will be blessed of God. And so, brethren, let us unite. Let us be more firmly brought together in that bond of love, of charity, which even we just heard our beloved brother Samuel just shared with us. And we should press our petitions heavenward for the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that He may come down in the form of the latter rain to bless us with the times of refreshing and to help warn this sin-sick world. As it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so do we have this faith, brethren? Need we to increase our faith? Then let us study the Word of God and pray for strength. Let us ask the Lord, help us in our unbelief. Let us unite together in prayer and in action for the salvation of souls. Two more quotes from Testimonies, Volume 5, page 388, paragraph 1, and 488, paragraph 2. She says, we have the theory of the truth, and now we need to seek most earnestly for its sanctifying power. I dare not hold my peace in this time of peril. It is a time of temptation, of despondency. Everyone is beset by the wiles of Satan, and we should press together to resist his power. We should be of one mind, speaking the same things, and with one mouth glorifying God. Then may we successfully enlarge our plans and be vigilant missionary, and by, vigilant missionary effort, take advantage of every talent we can use in the various departments of the work. Let each one who claims to follow Christ esteem himself less and others more. Press together, press together. In union, there is strength and victory. In discord and division, there is weakness and defeat. These words have been spoken to me from heaven. As God's ambassador, I speak them to you. Now, there are those who are going to feel guilty and feel most guilty of their backslidings or of causing strife and discord or any other sins. Today, on this day of communion and the Lord's Supper, now is not the time to lose hope. Now is not the time to allow the enemy to press dark thoughts into your mind. Shut them out. Because God speaks mercy to you, and he offers you peace, just as he has offered to your brethren. As he has promised others and had mercy upon them, so too you should have faith, because he is offering the same to you. Though we may have fallen, as we often do, God simply asks us to confess and repent. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Volume 8 of Testimonies, page 11, paragraph 6, the members of the church need now to confess their backslidings and, again, press together. My brethren, allow nothing to come in that will separate you from one another or from God. Talk not of differences of opinion, but unite in the love of the truth as it is in Jesus. Come before God and plead the shed blood of the Savior as a reason why you should receive help in the warfare against evil. You will not plead in vain. As you draw near to God with heartfelt contrition and full assurance of faith, the enemy who seeks to destroy you will be overcome. And so we see in the promise given to us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, and also in 3, verse 21, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And 3 verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. So, we must come together in unity. Let us cherish that love and that unity which should exist among brethren. Let us not try to drive or separate, but try to come together, even if it means at some sacrifice of ourself that must be given up. Press together. Because as we come together in unity, as we work together, as we share the love for each other that we should share, it will be so much easier for him to be able to use us, especially as a body. So then let us who are striving to be overcomers follow the directions of Christ, which he says in John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17. When he says, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You know, as we prayed earlier, we pray that we're ready, but if we're not ready, this moment right here, which the Lord has blessed and given us, this ordinance of humility is meant to draw us into bonds of closer love that we will be ready. We must be brought to the point where we are willing to do the things for our brethren, which would even be considered the work of a servant. And so if we are willing to serve one another in love, then very easily we can unite together to go out, to work together for Christ, to serve the world in the sense where we are sharing the truth with them, giving that last message of mercy. And so, my brethren, are we willing to do this? Then the Lord invites us all, and we're going to take the next 15 minutes as we come together today, to wash the feet of our brethren. And so let us do this act with humility of heart and with a true desire to do it, not just we're doing it as an outward show, but that we have a true desire in our hearts to serve our brethren. So with that, I'll put down the mic, and again, for 15 minutes, we're going to have music. We can go and do the feet washing. And I say, please, when you come back, at least have the oven-leavened bread and the grape juice ready when you get back. So I will put down the mic and the music you will hear.
Be Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Well, he called me Master and Lord, and he say, well, that's all I am. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. For so I am. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He called me Master and Lord, say well. He called me Master and Lord, and he said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, for my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Will.
drops of blood for mine. Ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
See you. pray.
It's about 15 minutes. Give everybody a moment. I noticed the music stopped, so let's give everyone a moment, about a minute. Everyone is prepared, have everything gathered and brought together. Alrighty, brothers and sisters, welcome back. Now, among each and every single one of us, our hearts should be melted. If it was not before, then it should be now. And those who have hearts which are not melted by the love of Christ, who are not willing to love their brethren, who are not willing to serve their brethren, who are still cherishing at this point a known sin, unwilling to put it away and having caused disunion or discord, or seeking to cause disunion or discord in some manner, are bringing themselves to the very point of Judas. Now, one might not be cast off immediately for their sins, but those who partake of this communion, if done unworthily, might immediately be cast away from the Lord, never more to return. This ordinance of the Lord, which he has established for us, is not to be trifled with. The Apostle Peter made it very clear that the Lord does indeed deal with those who partake of this service in a manner that is displeasing to him. Says the Apostle, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 to 32, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." What says Paul here? What was the reason that there were so many, even among the Corinthians, who were weak and sickly, and even some sleeping, that is, dead? Because they ate and drank damnation to themselves. And then, they later experienced those things, as Paul wrote about, because the Lord judged them. But if they had judged themselves, they would not have been punished by the Lord in such a manner. And so, as we tell each other and allow each other this time to know that communion is coming up, so that man does have an opportunity to judge himself. Man does have an opportunity to be sure that he has repented of his sins, to confess them and repent. So obviously, bringing them before the Lord or before brethren whom we have offended, and putting them away, but also repent, having a chance to turn away from them, and of having a chance to show fruits of repentance. It is not enough just to say, "I'm sorry," and then to return back and living in those sins again. And so, brethren, we must judge ourselves and be willing to judge ourselves. But, and I must add this, as we see, yet even here, we can see the Lord's mercy. What I mean is, those who were unworthy at the Day of Atonement were completely kicked out of the camp of Israel. But here, though some slept, Paul said, among them were those who were weak and sickly. He allowed such judgments to come upon them to let them know, you're not acting right. You're not behaving right. You're not doing the things which I have called you to do. And so our Savior's love and compassion for us is great. Though they are putting themselves in a position where if they continue in it, they will be just like Judas. He only struck them for a time for them to recognize that they were in sin. Honestly, Jesus' love is amazing. It is the greatest love that Him and His Father show to us that we will ever experience. And there can be nothing greater. We will be so, heaven will be perfect. To be able to dwell with our Father, with our Savior, in their love. Knowing that they will always care for us, they will always look after us, they will always be there for us. And so, we do, as we come together, we do show our Lord's death till He come. We do show how He was ever merciful, how He is willing to work to the uttermost for the salvation of His children. We're not there yet, brethren. There's still amongst us, our minds and our hearts, that is some imperfection that needs to be cleared away. Imperfection which, if cherished, will lead to eternal damnation. If you think of Jesus on the cross, as we should, and how He gave Himself for us, we should be moved by that love. And we should be moved to emulate that love. If there are any who are still in their mindset or knowingly have thoughts running through their mind, knowing that they haven't confessed sin, I urge you, confess it at once. God will forgive His people. He will grant you mercy. Let us not be willing to bring the wrath of the Lord upon ourselves. Let us be willing to be in harmony in heart with our brethren and with our Lord. And that's what communion will do. As we show the Lord's death, bring us into a greater love and communion with Him, washing off the dust of this world, which polluted our souls. Let us go forward from this service in great power and in great love, representing Jesus. And now, brethren, before we partake, before we eat and drink of these things which the Lord has given unto us, let us bow and kneel in prayer before our God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for blessing us and bringing us together on this day, and for helping the church brethren, the church members, helping every single one of us to become better. And Father, we fall far short of that perfection in Your Son. But we thank You that His blood, which was spilled for us, washes us away from our sins. We thank You for sending Jesus to die for us, to be our example, and teaching us that we should reflect Him in His love and in His perfection. Please bless us as we go and eat of this cup and drink of this grape juice, which we do show your Savior, or your Son's death, and ask that you please bless it and please move us all more into greater harmony. And if any unworthy father does partake, please have mercy on them. Lead them to repentance. Lead them to see the truth and to know that your love and your mercy are not to be trifled with. And that if something must happen to cause them to recognize that they're doing bad and that they need to repent, anything, Father, which will bring them to repentance and happy, holy love and unity. So it's with the help of your Holy Spirit we pray for these things. And in the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. In his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so, as he says, let us now eat this bread in remembrance of him. All right, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. It says, "And after the same manner he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in like manner, so shall we now drink of the cup. And with that, brethren, our service is ended, and the next thing you will hear is that of music. Sabbath blessings, everyone, and then we'll do closing prayer afterwards.
Give me Jesus.
can have all this world. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me
please kneel, that we may close our prayer. And please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us and blessing us with this communion. And now we ask that you please bless the remainder of this holy Sabbath day. Please bless all the prayers that are in the minds and hearts of your children that were lifted up earlier. And please help us all to continue to grow and more so reflect Jesus. And we lift up to you all those we have shared the truth with over the years, planting and watering seeds, whether they have rejected it or whether they have accepted and then rejected. As you know, some have walked away. And there might be those on the verge of that. And yet we pray that you please bless them with mercy, as you blessed us. And so help us to more fully grow into that perfect pattern and bring us all into perfect unity, that we may be worthy in character and in love to receive the latter rain, and to be able to have the privilege of sharing the truth of Jesus, with a sin-sick and lost and dying world. And so we lift up these things unto you, Father, and we thank you for blessing us and hearing them. We thank you for everything which you have done for us and continue to do for us. And so it's with the help of your Holy Spirit we pray for these things. And in Jesus' mighty and precious name that we pray. Amen.